This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The president's a busy man.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. President Barack Obama is spending another day speaking about the economy. Today he'll be in Ohio talking to auto workers there. And later in Pittsburgh, he'll address the AFL-CIO convention. Yesterday, in a speech made on Wall Street, the president said taxpayers have made a 17% return so far as banks have paid back their bailout money. There's word today we could soon see a little more profit there. News reports say Citigroup is exploring ways to pare down the government stake in the bank. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
The U.S. Treasury owns more than 7 billion common shares of Citigroup stock. Citing unnamed sources, Bloomberg News reports the Treasury may begin selling those shares as early as next month. Citi got $45 billion in aid from the bailout program set up by Congress. Like other banks that received money, Citi would prefer to get the government out of its affairs. By selling its common shares, the Treasury would reduce its stake in the bank. The Wall Street Journal reports that Citigroup plans to raise capital from investors to pay back the rest of the money. Citigroup would join Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase, and Morgan Stanley in exiting the bailout program. Taxpayers stand to make a profit. With the recent rise in Citigroup's stock, the Treasury could reportedly pocket more than $9 billion. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Markets worldwide are all over the place. In Asia, the Nikkei was up a little. The Hang Seng was down a little. We're talking under 0.5%. European shares, no consensus really either. The FTSE's flat, and the rest are up or down slightly. Little movement on Wall Street yesterday. The S&P gained about 0.6%. The Dow closed up about 21 points at 96.26, some of the highest levels in nearly a year. Mining companies and other investors are descending on Zimbabwe's capital today for what's being billed as the biggest ever mining conference there. That country's economy has taken a nosedive in recent years, but its land is still rich in natural resources, including platinum and gold. Now, both sides of Zimbabwe's new coalition government hope the conference will help convince investors that the worst is over for the economy. Marketplace's Gretchen Wilson has more from Johannesburg.
It's been 1 year since President Robert Mugabe and his rival Morgan Tsvangirai agreed to form a power-sharing government. Today, they're joining forces to reignite the country's moribund mining industry. The southern African country has vast reserves of chrome, nickel, gold, and coal, plus the world's second largest reserves of platinum, which is coveted by automakers. But most mining operations screeched to a halt about 10 years ago, when Mugabe's government started seizing property and calling for the nationalization of private firms. The coalition government says it wants to pass new laws that will attract foreign investment. It says a law once proposed by Mugabe to force mining firms to sell assets to local Zimbabweans is now being reconsidered. Investors at the conference hope to learn more about those laws before pouring money into exploration and development. In Johannesburg, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, sponsor of Retirement Revolution, airing on PBS tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern. Local listings at pbs.org. By CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 750,000 tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
And starting today and for the rest of the week, we'll be looking at what different groups have at stake in the healthcare debate. Doctors, small business, hospitals. It's part of the series The Cure, our continuing coverage on the remaking of healthcare in America. And we begin today with a look at the uninsured. More than 46 million people in this country cannot qualify for coverage or cannot afford it, or both. Those patients often end up in emergency rooms, one of the most expensive ways to get treated or go without medical attention at all. Marketplace's Tamara Keith reports.
Frank Brown runs his own environmental consulting firm. Last year, business was so bad, he would have been better off in a minimum wage job. Then in January, his health insurance premiums jumped from $425 to more than $600 a month.
Once it gets to $608 a month and you're down to beans and rice for dinner, you have to make some choices.
He went to the doctor for one last checkup.
And then when I walked out, I said, well, that's it. Now I'm going to have to be on my own for a while.
Like Brown, most people who don't have insurance do work, or they're in a family with someone who does. Diane Rowland is executive director of the Kaiser Commission on Medicaid and the Uninsured.
When we ask people why they're uninsured, the overwhelming number is that it's either that I'm not offered it through my employer or I can't afford it.
Rowland says the various health care bills take aim at the affordability problem.
The largest share of the cost of health reform is to make coverage affordable for the low-income and low- and modest-income population that's uninsured.
According to a Kaiser analysis, Medicaid could be expanded to cover 17 million of the lowest-income adults, and another 16 million could get government subsidies to help pay for coverage. June Turner is more interested in the provision that would prevent insurance companies from denying coverage to people with pre-existing conditions. 8 years ago, Turner had a heart attack.
The brokers tell me that even if the company would insure me, that the rates would be just astronomical.
Turner says she gets chest pain sometimes, but she doesn't go to the doctor because it's too expensive.
It feels like walking on a tight wire.
Like so many people, she's balancing her health with the fear of financial ruin. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
Finally, we've been talking to some analysts with an interesting take on the future.
First, I wanted to be a race car driver. Then I wanted to own a body shop. But now I want to design energy-efficient cars.
That's William. He's 10. If you think kids aren't tuned into the economy, think again. Watch video highlights of our small town hall at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being here. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.